2 Peter 1, 3 through 4 says, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. As I read through that passage, there are a couple of observations that I made that I wanted to share with you today and then expound on. The first one is that God has already given us everything we need for life and for godliness. The reality is, apart from God, we don't have what it takes to experience real life or to live a godly life. We understand what God has given us by our knowledge of Him. And knowledge is, the word knowledge is actually used in several places in Scripture. In John 17, 3, Jesus says, This is eternal life, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That word know or knowledge in other places actually means relationship with or intimacy. In fact, it says in Genesis that Adam knew Eve, and she conceived and brought forth Cain and Abel. And that word know meant that they were together intimately. So the word knowledge implies an intimate relationship. As our relationship grows, we learn to trust the promises that God has given us. As we get to know Him better, we know that what He says He's going to do. By trusting God's promises or walking by faith, we experience His divine nature, and we're able to escape the corruption that we find in the world. So there's kind of a progression that Peter makes here, that God has given us everything. We understand it by knowing Him, and by knowing Him, we experience the things that He's given us. I want you to take a few seconds and just think about your best friend, or someone that you would say is your closest friend. Hopefully a person comes to mind, and I want you to think about what makes the relationship with that person different from all the other relationships that you're involved in. You know, as I was thinking about that, for me, the word trust, I've learned to trust this person, the time that we spend together, and our ability to communicate, even to the level where we know what each other is going to say before they even say it. And hopefully all of you have experienced something like that in a friendship with someone. But the Bible, again, always gives us physical, practical examples to illustrate a spiritual truth. And so in the same way that you think about what are the things of in your relationship with your best friend that make that friendship so special, and then parlay them over to a relationship with God and how you're doing in that relationship and what might make that relationship become like a best friend. You know, like friendships, they kind of go through a progression. And what I mean by that is, for you to become friends with anybody, first you have to meet them. There's an introduction. And the Bible tells us that God wants to be in a relationship with each and every one of us. And He made that clear by becoming a person Himself, coming to earth and initiating a relationship with us. We enter into that relationship first and foremost by understanding that God has done that for us, and we want that relationship. So we're introduced to God or through Jesus. And then just like your friendship, it takes energy and it takes intentionality for that relationship to grow. The same is true for a relationship with God. There's energy, there's intentionality that take place. God has given us His Word, His Spirit, one another, and then our ability to choose as the mechanisms for us to come to understand and move into that type of a relationship. God's given us His Word in the Bible, His Spirit who lives within us, and then one another, our friends and our community, our church, if we're involved in a church. None of us are as close to God as we want to be, but all of us are as close to God as we choose to be. That's a powerful statement, but the Bible's very clear that God has done everything He can do in order to make a relationship with Him a possibility and a viability. We have to choose to accept what He's done in order to enter into that relationship. Spending time intentionally with God regularly is the way to deepen our knowledge of Him or our relationship with Him and to experience all that He intended for us to experience. You've heard the term quiet time, devotion, daily walk, that sort of thing. Those are all different terms to describe a discipline that is critical for us to have in our life in order to grow in that relationship with God. And that quiet time is simply time alone, intentionally set aside in order to connect with God and spend time with Him. A key part of that time, though, is not simply like doing a Bible study or a bunch of activity, but really a key part of that is to learn to be still in His presence. Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." That's kind of like a promise that God is making through that psalm, that if you will be still in His presence, you will come to know and deepen the relationship with Him. Psalm 130 says, "Out of the depths I cry to You, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let Your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If You, O Lord, kept a record of sin, who could stand? But with You there is forgiveness. Therefore You are feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in His word I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord, more than watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with Him is full redemption. He Himself will redeem Israel from all of their sins." You know, I'm able to wait for the Lord for certain things like a new opportunity, blessings for my children, healing for a friendship, a safe trip out of town. It's much more difficult for me to wait for the Lord for nothing, simply to be still in front of Him. Yet this is one of the keys for us to learn how to love other people well. David Brenner says, "Although I often try to pull it off, I know that I cannot really be present for another person when my inner world is filled with preoccupations and distractions. This is one of the biggest challenges I face in being present for others, being still within my own soul. Stillness is the precondition of presence. I must first be still to myself if I am to be still with another. And of course, I must learn to be still before God if I'm to learn to be still in myself. Presence begins with a still place within oneself. If I have no such still place, I cannot really be present for others." What is your biggest challenge when you think about trying to be still before the Lord? What are the things that keep you from being able to do that? Let me pray. Father, I confess to you that I am not sure what it looks like to be still and quiet before you. Lead me on a journey to discover that still place within myself, and I will follow wherever and however you lead me. Father, we also want to pray for Jennifer as she gets her results back tomorrow from her CT.